What does EC3 mean? Where are EC1 and 2?
Is a hippopotamus, or a really cool apotamus?
So this is our official post-WrestleMania show where we definitely, you know, remember
when we said we were going to come on at the Monday right after Mania, we're going to do a show, and then instead we just didn't do a show at all that week, and two weeks later.
I can guarantee you, 2 weeks later, like, it's only been 2 weeks, people have not heard enough about WrestleMania.
No, definitely not.
Like, people are, the people of the world are crying out for another post-WrestleMania podcast 2 weeks after the fact. That's what I've heard.
Huge if true. Huge if true. I heard, now correct me if I'm wrong, but Hulk Hogan had a match at WrestleMania.
I will correct you.
You might have got the wrong year there. That's the Mania you watched.
Okay, my bad. My bad. This one's on me. Tell me what. What happened at WrestleMania? What stood out for you at WrestleMania that you really enjoyed? Boski, if you want to go first.
I mean, night two was fantastic in general. I'm trying to remember what the hell was on Mania card. I mean, the main of the whole, you know, Bloodline saga minus the Jimmy and Jay match was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, the main events about nights, just the story that went into it. The only bit that could have made it better, as we discussed on the pod before, is if it was Austin in that spot instead of The Undertaker.
But
I think other than that, it was just perfectly booked in the way you got the right amount of nonsense and the right amount of good wrestling. And it was just really well done.
So night two, the main event, Roman versus Cody, Bloodline rules. We had interferences from, was Solo there? And Jimmy? I don't actually think Jimmy was there. Cena came out.
Jimmy not first. It was Jimmy, then it was Jay fought him off, then Solo came, then Cena fought him off.
Yes, that's what it was. Like, all the shenanigans. Like, it was everything bar the one thing that everyone kind of really wanted. Why didn't they get Austin? You have to assume that they wanted him in that spot.
Apparently, they couldn't come to a financial agreement.
I called bullshit on that. Like, Austin isn't a whore. Like, he is not just there for the paycheck. There must have been some logistical issue or some other conceptual reason why he wasn't in that spot. It's not down to money.
He's always said that he wants to do wrestling, he wants it to make sense in the story. And in fairness, Taker has been somewhat more involved in this story than Austin has for this whole thing, because he did have obviously the history with Roman and whatnot. But still, it's the moment for him to face off against The Rock. That's what that was all about. You don't need a story there.
Yeah. Like, Taker made absolutely no sense in my mind. I know what you're saying about the history of Roman, but that was before Bloodline. You know, that was Big Roman's Dog Roman.
A different shark is what you're saying.
And also, Taker didn't get involved against Roman. He got involved against Rock. So there's no real...
I mean, they have history, but it's long since. It's not storied history. It's just, you know...
It's weak sauce.
Yeah.
Like, you think Rock, you think Austin. They're just synonymous with each other. So whoever dropped the ball there, who didn't get that done, unless there was just some immovable reason why it couldn't happen, somebody fucked up. That would have been the cherry on top of the cake that was filled with gooey goodness that would have been the best WrestleMania main event of all time. Not saying it wasn't good, but I'm just saying that would have been just the cherry on top.
I heard it was the greatest WrestleMania of all time, Fitz.
I heard it was the biggest and the greatest and the most awesomest and every other superlative you can find. The most stupendous.
By every metric you can use, I believe it was what was said. Every metric that could be used.
To be fair to them, like, they put on a good show, they marketed a good show, they publicized a good show, and the talent delivered a good show.
Yep.
So we as a collective have rightly condemned them when they've put on bad shows.
This was a really good show. Like, there's no denying that.
So, you know, the contrast between the 7.5-hour WrestleMania 35 in New York versus the overwhelming success of WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. night and day, the quality. Day.
Yeah.
Like, in every sense. Like, sure, we had Big Time Bex win the title in the main event. Fantastic stuff. Loved it for her. But, like, that match, if you take it in isolation, was not a great match.
No.
Historic, sure. Loved it from Bec Talia 90. Absolutely. But main event versus main event, they're on different universes.
Moment was better given our bias, probably, but for actual, like when you break it down and you look at what we witnessed here a couple of weeks ago, that is.
Was it all worth not doing it last year?
110%.
Yes. I think we, the Alleged Wrestling Podcast, have been proved right, as we are one of the only few people who actually called for and wanted a Cody loss last year because it wasn't the right move. I feel vindicated. Not going to lie. Feel good. Feel pretty damn good. Gordo, what else stood out for you outside of the main event? I hear Sammy took this house fairly well anyway.
Sammy was fantastic. I just want to very quickly touch on just what I liked. One thing in the main event that I loved, just the wrinkle to it, was the whole thing of Rollins.
Yes.
And people saying that he basically got bitched out in the moment as soon as he ran out.
Oh, no. That was perfect. No.
It was so perfect because all Rollins' job in that moment was to be in that ring and to be in that ring with a chair and to be the distraction. And Rollins was in that ring. He was the ultimate distraction. He was Roman's downfall. And not enough people are picking up on the fact that Rollins was the reason for Roman's downfall at the end, because he couldn't let go of that 10-year-old grudge. He'd looked away, he took his eye off the ball because he had a chance to get the ultimate revenge of swinging that chair at the back of the man that done the same to him 10 years ago. He took that shot and it cost him everything. And just for me, that was, I did not have enough veins to hook that up. I thought it was just fucking poetry the way they managed to
hook that up. I thought that was too subtle.
Oh, I loved it.
Look, they Heyman got a promo on SmackDown, so they've made a story.
Yeah.
I would agree with Gordo. It was a fantastic story to tell, but that went completely over my head in the moment because it was too subtle for me. And that might just be me.
Commentators probably should have drew more attention to it.
Yeah, like watching it live and even just thinking back to it now, Cody was down at the time. So
they were both down, both their backs facing Roman. He had the chair in his hand. He had the option to go for Cody or for Rollins, and he went for Rollins.
Yeah, like it makes sense. And fair play for Seth for going back and putting on his big boy pants and taking off his dress and whatnot for the main hair.
He didn't dye his hair. His hair was the exact same.
It looks more blonde.
It's the same.
Are you sure?
Yeah. 100%.
It really looks more blonde for me. I don't know.
So outside of the main event, Gordo, what else stood out for you?
We had some big moments. Sami Zayn breaking out the brain buster. Which so many people refer to as a botch. Showing their knowledge of wrestling there. Well done, lads. Even as he was lifting him for it, my arms went up in the air because I was like, surely they're not actually going to do this. And he dropped him down on that turnbuckle and I fucking popped. Drew versus Rollins was a very fun match. Loved the aftermath of it with CM Punk and Drew.
And the cash-in. Obviously
then leading to the cash-in on the back of it.
Best WrestleMania cash-in of all time?
I think I probably just about Rollins is one over because it was in the main event. It came literally out of nowhere. That one you kind of assumed was somewhat coming.
Yeah, but for different reasons, I did love this one though, because it's added an extra layer to what was already a really intriguing title picture. Like, there's a lot of people can have claim to being next one up for that title when they're ready for it. Obviously, with different people being hurt and whatever. Bayley Yoshi, I thought was quite fun. Speed being the prime bottle and getting bleeped out every 5 seconds because he was dropping F-bombs all over the shop. We don't speak of Jay and Jimmy.
Can we speak about that for just one moment? Because whoever planning produced
this match. This is a match they've been planning that match since. Sorry, go on, sorry.
Deserves to be fired.
Yeah.
For yeah, like you said, they've been planning this match for years. So if this was just them giving free rein and say, go out there, lads, and do what you want, they should be fired for allowing them to do that. And yeah, these two boys should be fucking dragged over hot coals for performing that. Holy shit, that was bad.
Like, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. And both of these, no, I do think Jay is the better of the two when it comes to single stuff anyway. I think Jimmy still has a bit to go to catch up to him. But that's just, that'll come with more and more time as a single. But both of these have had so much better matches. And you would have assumed that there was going to be something special in planned for this. I think maybe it might have been hamstrung with being just a singles match. And it might, for something that's so blood feudish, yeah, it probably needed a stip.
It didn't help. The whole build-up wasn't really that personal. Like, yeah, they have this so much personal history, and obviously they're brothers. That build-up should have been a lot better as well for this. Like,
they've done a better personal feud for the Bellas than they did for this.
Yeah.
And we all know you're a big fan of the Bellas, to be fair.
Sure am, yeah. Wish you died in the womb and all that. I fucking wish you both did.
Jesus, you wow, can't be saying that.
Edit that. But what else do we have? Actually, Awesome Truth winning the tag titles. It was nice to see R-Truth, despite him blocking me on Twitter years ago, getting his moment. And A-Town Down Under also becoming the SmackDown tag champs. Right calls for both, I think. I don't think there's much. Yeah. Don't think there's much complaint. I'm pretty sure it's what we predicted as well, wasn't it? For both of them. I know we definitely predicted Awesome Truths. I think we said A-Town Down Under. We were kind of torn between them and New Catch Republic, but I think we kind of settled one heel, one face was the right call there. And as expected, obviously, covering nearly everything else in night one, but Jade, Bianca, and Naomi beat Damage Katarl. I don't know. I just think across both of them was two just really good nights of wrestling. It felt like a celebration of wrestling again, which is what I always feel WrestleMania should be. Is it's the culmination of the year, and it's just a celebration of all the good shit we've seen over the past year, and kind of all the good work that they put into different storylines. So I really liked kind of how they tied a lot of stuff up. Bob Ray Dudley actually coming out in Philly was fun. I liked that. For the Pride beating the Final Testament.
But is he just a WWE stooge now, though?
Can he? He's on the payroll, is he? That's the problem.
Can he offer valid criticism anymore now that he's on the payroll?
I mean, he fucking tried his best. we'll get to some of the criticisms, I think, later on. It was fine. Like, he didn't really do much beyond here, get the tables, and
that's all he was there for.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. No, that's it. And like, he directed a bit of traffic when it came to the finish and stuff like that. So it was fine. Done the job exactly what was needed of him. No complaints. Just good fun. In a weekend, it had a lot of serious matches on it. You often need kind of just them fun little cameos and stuff like that, just to keep the good vibes kind of flowing along. So yeah, just a lot of fun stuff. A lot of fun stuff across the two nights.
Yeah, just to go back to the Truth winning the title thing, it was worth it totally for that spot with Judgment Day the next night as well. Holding up the title, yeah, and it him. It's like,
fucking hilarious.
Quality stuff. Did anything surprise you, or did anything kind of, did you think anything was going to fall flat but delivered and vice versa?
Probably the thing I thought would fall flat but delivered was probably that Philadelphia Street Fight, to be honest. That was the one I was kind of like, but it was actually a really fun match.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw Bully Ray come out, or Bubba Ray, whatever you want to call him, I thought it was fairly obvious the faces were going to win. But other than that, yeah, it's a street fight, just do stupid things. Mm. Bit weird and disappointing, I suppose, to see Akam and Razor get taken out by one dive and be incapacitated for a good 7.5 minutes.
Yeah, it's a match. That's what happens. It's fine.
Do you know what was my sleeper of the entire weekend was Bayley and Dio. I love that fight.
Yeah.
And that is the co-main on night two, delivered as a co-main.
Yeah.
Delighted for that. LA Knight, AJ, meh. If you really wanted to, you could absolutely have compressed this down to one night. Like, you could take LA Knight AJ Styles off the card or put that into the US title as a five-way. The Philadelphia Street Fight didn't need to be there. You had Rey Mysterio's tag match didn't need to be there. The Usos didn't need to be there. The six-woman tag team match didn't need to be there. That you could easily have made a fantastically strong one-night card and cut a lot of the fat off this.
But it's Mania. They want to get as much cheaper on the card as possible. So if they had made it one night, all those matches would have been much shorter and it would have added an extra couple if you were trying to do that. So it's a trade-off. I preferred it to unite at this point. It definitely feels more special being one night, but I prefer it's way easier to digest as two nights.
It is and it isn't, I suppose. I see what you're saying, but I just think because they have two nights, they drag things out a lot more. And like, if I think someone clocked it, like between like one match finishing and another match beginning, it was something like 45 minutes because of video packages and an in-ring segment announcing the attendances. Like, they are in. This is the one criticism that I think we could have for the entirety of the weekend. The video packages and the death by backstage and whatever, the in-between bits was just too much.
Well, like, I mean, they need to do all the promotion and stuff now, you know, they're part of Endeavor. That's what they do. They promote everything.
Lads, I don't know if you noticed. It was fine.
It was grand. If it was because it was the way they did it. If it was a gaudy one they had on SmackDown that time, it would have been horrible. But a translucent black and white image, perfect. That's fine. It's no issue. Didn't draw the eye.
I don't know if you noticed it, lads, but it looked like it was a bit cold there in night one.
What?
Just putting it out there. I don't know if that impacted on anything.
It wasn't mentioned at all.
What are you, Fitz? A meteorologist?
Stooge.
Speaking of in-ring segments and promos, Steph basically blagging on her dad.
Yeah.
This is special. This is more special than all the other times I've been at WrestleMania because this is the Paul Levesque era.
First time Paul Levesque was mentioned on air.
I know he's definitely mentioned on air before.
As Paul Levesque, though?
Yeah.
Really?
First time, definitely the first time he was introduced as Paul Levesque, though, I think.
Like, maybe, I know. CM Punk had the tete-a-tete before he left, you know, this Phil Brooks talking to Paul Levesque, but I think this is the first time I recall him being kind of addressed in the positive sense and the real sense as Paul Levesque.
I definitely feel like they've done that before. There hasn't been on his entrance plate or anything saying it before. This is the first time they've done that, but I definitely think they've called him Paul Levesque on TV before.
So, do you reckon Steph and Trips are still together then, considering, you know, the blown smoke up his arse and Trips then afterwards saying my wife was pretty hot?
I think my wife still got it.
Yeah. She's still not wearing a ring, but maybe she just doesn't want her a ring.
What did you think of Cody calling out Paul Levesque and Bruce Pritchard after the main event? One was greeted with a cheer, the other not so much.
Yeah, poor Bruce Pritchard got a bit of a boo in there.
Bruce Pritchard?
Yeah. I wouldn't have done it, especially with the things that are going around right now. There's nothing been said against him. There's nothing, like, no accusations or like that. But just, you know, the group of people that he kept friends with, I just wouldn't be rocking any boats at this point with that sort of stuff.
Pretty sure Rhonda said stuff about him before that... He was
enabling,
knowledgeful of certain things. Yeah. Which, to be fair, you'd absolutely believe. You know, he was incredibly close to Vince, so there was no way that he didn't know what was going on. But we digress. So that was Mania as itself. What have you enjoyed since Mania? Has anything stood out for you since in the Raw after or anything like that?
That opening segment with The Rock and Cody was a bit long. They drag it out a little bit.
This is awkward.
What's in his hand?
What's in his hand? That's the big question. New lockbox.
What do you think it is?
I think.
Go on.
I was going to say my initial thought was it was the lighter from Cody's bus catching fire. Because he said, don't ever break my heart again. And like, did he set his bus on fire?
I'm not sure storyline wise what you could use to fit in there. Obviously the most obvious thing is the watch that Cody gave everyone in the match, but they didn't really play that up on TV. Mention, if they had mentioned that on TV, that Cody got everyone as a peace offer, what they call it, a wartime offering or something like that, I think is what I've seen some mentioned online about. If that had been mentioned on TV, then I'm like, yeah, okay, that's definitely what it was. But I don't, I mean, you can pivot at the moment, but you can just use that if you want.
Yeah. No, tell him lighter. He set the bus on fire.
What stick about a Hall of Famer, potentially Dusty's?
How would Rock have that though?
Broke into his house. When Cody's bus was on fire.
I'm just like you, Bo, I'm kind of thinking, well, what could fit in a hand and in a pocket kind of a scenario?
Yeah.
It's not a lockbox. We can confirm that for sure. Steve Select has that at 100%. But yeah, we'll obviously get a payoff closer to SummerSlam, I'm imagining. I don't think they can drag all that out until Mania next year.
Oh, no. Way too long to drag it to Mania.
Well, that's what the moment Rock is eyeing up is the match against Cody, if the rumors are to be believed, for Mania.
At Mania?
Yeah.
Oh, Cody can't hold that title all the way. And I know Rock kind of covered that, you know, with or without the title, that he's coming for Cody. So hopefully that's the case, because we've had an era of severely long title reigns. Not that they need to be more frequent, but a little bit of a variance would be nice.
Yeah, it'd be no harm for you to initially think, oh God, we're getting Mania to Mania title reigns, which unfortunately is what happened with the Raw women's title. Well, Raw or Mania till just after Mania in that case. Yeah, I agree. There needs to be a bit more.
What's frequency. The Raw women's title?
You mean the world heavyweight, women's world heavyweight
world
title?
Women's not, well, heavyweight.
No, heavyweight. Women's world title. Yeah.
There we go. Got there.
Rhea Ripley doesn't have her title anymore because she's hurt, is essentially.
So, yeah, it's unsure if it's the existing injury she had going into Mania or if she suffered an injury on Mania or the night after, but ultimately she's going to be out for a few months.
Yeah, they're saying it was the thing that Liv rammed her into the wall, but you know, who knows?
That's just a good kayfabe cover, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. Either anyway, regardless, she's injured now for it, which sucks because she's on an incredible run at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And I pity the fool who has that belt when she comes back.
Oh, they are getting powerbombed through the fucking ring.
So I suppose the smart play really is to Liv to win the belt somehow in a tournament. Oh, yeah. Or?
Liv has to have that belt when she comes back. Like, that's the what you need right to have happen. Yeah.
Becky Lynch, who's going to be on the late tonight, so make sure to watch that back.
Yes.
She has to be off TV for a while.
I'm assuming she's doing this UK tour just because she had to come over for late anyway, and then she's probably taking some off. Like Rollins, same, I reckon he won't be on for a while either.
Well, what if we don't have Liv win the tournament or whatever they do for the title? What if they have her lose to a roll up, or just kind of something to basically someone barely eeks past her in the final or whatever, as I said, be in a final or a case of
new champ next week or this Monday in Raw, so it's probably not going to be a tournament
unless they do like two triple threats and the winners face each other in the main event.
Or
could do.
But what if they went with a situation where, let's say, they do like a fatal four way. Where she'll be the one, she'll hit her oblivion, someone will drop kick her and then slide in and get the pin. And just something like that, where she's the one who'll get involved, but she won't be the one to actually get the pin. And
so that's what sends her continues a bit longer.
And that's what sends her properly over the edge to completely snap and go absolutely berserk on people. To just drive home the heel turn a bit more. And then obviously give it a month or so, she will, because obviously we'll say best case scenario, Rhea's off 3 months. But you have it that Liv, you go 2 or 3 months of her, she eventually gets her title shot, she ends up winning it, and when she's standing in the ring holding up the title, that's when Rhea's music hits. So just as Liv thinks, I'm on top, you have your heel who's finally after reaching it, thinks they're after overcoming everything, getting to the top, and the consequences of their actions come straight back to haunt them straight away with Rhea's music hitting.
This is her brutality.
Yeah. And again, they don't even need to lay a finger on each other that night. Just Rhea's music hits. She stands at the top of the ramp. That's all you need to do. Just have fear. Just have fear in Liv's face. That's all I'd go with. Again, they could go. There's a lot of different ways it could go, but that's just how I do it. If they're looking for something a bit outside the box, looking forward to it either way.
Money in the Bank cashed in at WrestleMania. Damian Priest is the new World Heavyweight Champion. There was a tournament to crown his new number one contender, which resulted in Jey Uso winning, and he will face Priest in Lyon in France in 2 weeks' time. Thoughts on how that came about? Seemed like a fairly easy layup for their first pay-per-view after the show.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that Jey's over as a face, and it makes sense to have that's kind of an initial title defense. I'm assuming is going to be your attention here.
Has anyone tried to translate yeet into French yet? Does anyone know how that would work?
Le yeet.
Le yeet. Got it. Yeah. So that's going to be a thing. Le yeet.
Yeah.
Guarantee it. Either the go home show or on the night, somebody inevitably will say le yeet.
Yeah.
Eat.
Le yeet.
So that's fun.
The big news we haven't covered yet that happened on SmackDown last week, the new member of the Bloodline.
Yokozuna.
Ah.
Tamatanga.
He's there by order of the tribal chief.
But who is
which tribal chief? Yes. I still go with my booking for this.
Which is?
I could put in the chat. Oh yeah, this was the chat. This wasn't the podcast.
This wasn't the podcast
at all. So this is. Oh Jesus, what was it again? So yeah, we have Bloodline Red and Black and Bloodline Wolfpack.
I like it.
So yeah, you got this current Bloodline, the new Bloodline, which would be led by The Rock as their tribal chief.
This is the Wolfpack.
This is the Wolfpack. So this is the one that features Tama Tonga in the new Bloodline. We also still have, oh my God, I'm going back on name right now. Oh yeah, Solo. Solo obviously in there as well. And then Jacob Fatu, who is the rumored to be coming in as well as part of this angle. And that's the new Bloodline, the Bloodline Wolfpack. And while you then have Roman Reigns returning later on as a face to counteract this new Wolfpack Bloodline, who then reunites the two Usos under him, which they're already kind of teasing towards that going back together. Ooh. So that's where you have your face off.
Oh, well, like
that's
that.
4-on-3.
It is 4-on-3. But, you know, usually in a match, put the angle and how long this takes, you know, it comes around about Survivor Series War Games type time, where you generally have a 4-on-4 type match. And a Survivor Series War Games match, where if you've got a face team of Bloodline with Roman Reigns and the Usos, I mean, there's only one honorary use you can call upon to have you use a member.
Nicoleo.
Oh man, if they go like that, honest to God, I need to find more veins because I need some of that in my system. Sami Zayn and the Usos with Roman as a face group.
A face team facing off against The Rock and his cronies. Now that's if The Rock would be willing to do a War Games match, but he's all in again now, so we'll see.
Well, they can find creative ways to limit what he'd have to do in it as well. They'd find a way around it, I think.
So that's The Rock, Solo, Tama Tonga, and Jacob Fatu.
Yep.
Oh, they make a good bad team because that's like a team of snarls.
Yeah.
You just look at each of them and you know they don't smile ever.
Except for Rock, who smiles too much because he's got the Hollywood teeth.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You know his smile is fake.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Imagine if you book that and just like sell out.
And
you'd sell out anything for that.
And the one thing is, like, I think people would worry about what would the situation be with regards to like talking in weeks where The Rock isn't there. People forget Tama can talk.
Oh yeah,
Tama's well able to talk, and that'll be, I would imagine he'll be a good chunk of the speaking role for that side.
Just starting to give Solo a bit more promo time too, so he could be starting to get better there too.
Trying to get a bit more confident.
You could just leave Heyman with them as well for that time period, because Heyman could go either way.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't know where that could go. Is this what Heyman said when he said that they're only in the third inning? He wasn't just talking about the title run. He was talking about post-title.
Maybe.
Because like it feels to me, I'm going to use the Codyism of finishing the story. But when it comes to the Bloodline story, it really feels like there's a lot more legs in this.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with this, though, if they are a ticket of Cody and Rock for Mania, it kind of flies in the face of all this because that storyline leads to having Rock, Roman at Mania. So unless you want to blow off the Cody Rock match at SummerSlam this year and get that out of the way and done.
That works.
Yeah.
It's a logical step on the plan you've just laid out as well.
Yeah.
Because then you could have Roman come back after that match or at the conclusion of that match even.
Yeah.
Maybe even to
cost the Rock.
Nullify the Rock or the goons or whatever they are. Like that would be up there with fucking the end of SummerSlam 2008, I think it was it, maybe 10, when Jeff Hardy and CM Punk had a ladder match and the lights go out and Undertaker suddenly in the ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was good shit. That was the match, the moment that got me back into wrestling again. And I was watching it in a very dreary house in Manor Street in Waterford.
That was a great house.
It's a great house, yeah.
It was a very dodgy house.
But yeah, look, there's so many ways I could go with it. Looking forward to it. It's probably what I've said, and I think it's been a consensus among us for most of this Bloodline stuff over the last God knows how many years. And at this point, I'm just enjoying being along for the ride. It's fun to just be able to enjoy wrestling. Even if bits and pieces of it along the way might be a bit predictable, they've sunk their teeth into you and they have you. It's a feeling as wrestling fans we haven't had for a long fucking time. But it's damn good to have it back again.
Okay, so while we've just spent a good few minutes talking about how good and rosy the garden is over in Connecticut for WWE, and how they've earned the praise that they're getting. Contrast that, Gordo, with the fate that AEW and Tony Khan has endured over the last 6 months.
The last 2 weeks of the decisions they've made.
Tony.
So start at the beginning and we'll work up to the footage issue.
Fucking, where do we start? I mean, realistically, you don't even need to go too far back to really pin the downfall of it, but I mean, if you want to even look back pre-Mania or even look back a month or so,
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, far away.
Might I suggest that this all originated around the All-In time, not just because of the incident that happened, but because of the All-In, All-Out tennis stadium shows and WrestleDream. So they have four pay-per-view worthy events within the space of 5 or 6 weeks.
Yep.
That completely killed all momentum because they had to book on the fly. And I think that's where the problems originated. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think
and
that's
they're
where
doing
my
it
interest
again this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even
I don't know if they confirmed Arthur Ashe, though.
No, they haven't.
They're not doing Arthur Ashe because this is rumored. They're not doing Arthur Ashe because apparently New Japan didn't want to fork out their share of the costs to run somewhere the size of Arthur Ashe. Because New Japan don't have faith in what's going on at the moment, by the sounds of things, allegedly. But yeah, like even yourselves, two guys were going over to be one of those shows, a part of one of those shows, and be at it and take in the atmosphere. Were unable to really properly get invested because it felt like it was just another thing along the way to something else.
Our experience over there didn't help either.
Of course. But like I can even remember even beforehand, though, I was trying to talk about, you have this coming up, this is going to be great, this is going to be fun, like this match is going to be fun, I'm looking forward to watching this match. It was all match. There was nothing with regards to, like, we've just spent so long talking about WWE and the story and where they could go and what they could do. Whereas you were looking forward to matches, but you weren't necessarily as much invested with regards to what's going to happen because it just felt like another... Unfortunately, it felt, and three of the shows really were probably just steps towards another show, if you get me. Mm-hmm. They weren't seen as the big deal that they should have been. Big crowd maybe, but not a big deal. Obviously, then we had the fallout of that with regards to them losing their biggest draw in the middle of all of that, which people can like it or fucking hate it, the man was their biggest draw. Even in previous, even if the last 2 weeks that the show by, he's still a draw for him and he's not been out of the fucking company for 6 months. So, obviously, the fallout from that, he's a reason that a lot of people were watching Collision. I will hold my hands up and say, I have watched an awful lot less of Collision, but when the likes of CM Punk and all that were on it week in, week out, it was appointment viewing for me at the time. Now, not so much. If I get to it, I get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at it, unfortunately, there's still, it's now reached a point where I think in general people are less accommodating to Tony's booking on a whim, where we're getting one or two matches announced in advance. The other ones get maybe tweeted out 2 days beforehand. Or you would say if they're having matches on Collision, they'll get announced in a quick, like, 15-second rambling from Excalibur when little graphics pop up in the middle of a main event. There's nothing that's really shown longevity in a lot of what they're doing beyond maybe the main event. Obviously, they had the disaster that was the fucking Undisputed Kingdom, which, dead on arrival.
Shouldn't have pulled the trigger on that if Cole wasn't ready. Like,
as soon as Cole was hurt, they should have pivot.
Yeah.
Pivot and go with a weird higher power situation. But good Lord, do not have it be what this has become. It's shocking. It's just a weirder diamond mine because it's basically Roddy Strong leading the faction. It's not good. But then you kind of go forward into more recent times. So they've brought in, they've made a couple of big signings. Obviously, they've broken the bank. They've brought in Okada. They've brought in Ospreay. And they've brought in Mercedes. Bell to Bell, two of them I think are fantastic. One of them will bring viewers.
A demographic.
Yeah. A demographic of stands, but people that won't actually see the shortcomings that are there. I've probably been a bit harsh. Bell to Bell, she is quite good as well, but not to the level that these weird people on the internet will hype her up to be. But unfortunately, when you start looking at this, there's no ratings bump. Not one of these people has been a ratings bump.
Wrestling is cool again, as we've been told many times, and it's showing mm-hmm. in one side of it.
Exactly. For a moment where wrestling is supposed to be cool again, you would imagine that should be, was that phrase, a rising tide, you know, all boats and all that.
No,
yeah, that's not what's happening here. It's one ship, and the others are, I'm not saying it's a sinking ship.
They've got an anchor on them, you know. Just
they're literally just there. They're just kind of turning the wave. And that anchor's
called Tony Khan.
He
used to live on the ratings for the first 2 years of AEW's existence because of the Wednesday Night Wars. Like, that was their thing. That was the thing that he could publicize to show how good they were doing. But now when it's not in their favor and they don't realize why, they seem to have no answers. And I can only guess that the people backstage are starting to get frustrated by this.
All I'll say is, even from a subscription standpoint, they're down a subscription lately.
Mm-hmm. Not only because I've been saving my pennies because I'm saving for a mortgage and all that jazz, but I can't justify paying for AEW on Fight anymore because I don't watch it enough because it's that bad. I've cancelled WWE Network in the past, but bad content doesn't deserve to be rewarded. And this was my only way of doing it. Not going to make it a drop in the ocean in the grand scheme of things.
You mean you're not going to Ireland again this year, Fitz?
You could not pay me to go to that show. I am officially retired from stadium shows for any company, regardless of who they are and what the card is. There is nothing that could drag me to a stadium show ever again. Unless it was on my front door.
Mania in Wembley.
No.
That's the only one that I think I could manage at this point, is if there was a Mania in Wembley.
No, sir. Give me a comfortable couch and a few cold beers and I'll be happy. What if I am a very old man now.
What if it's a bring your own beer Mania in Wembley? It won't be, because you'll have to spend the 75 quid for a fucking pint over there. But yeah, but
doing bad, Gordo? Why are they doing bad?
There's nothing to make you want to tune in. I would be blatantly honest.
But the wrestling's good.
So's the wrestling on every fucking indie show. So's the wrestling in every week they've had for the last 5 years. I'm sorry, good matches can only get you so far. I can only watch the same sequences between the same two people or the same sequences performed by the same person against differing people so much. They've blown through too many of their quote-unquote dream matches. From week to week, they're lacking long-term continuity, especially at a time when we're praising a fucking four-year storyline in the other company. And we're talking about wrinkles, and I'm here picking, and well, not just myself, but so many other people are picking up on a fucking 10-year callback in the main event of WrestleMania. And here's Tony Khan doing what we fucking criticize Vince McMahon for, scribbling stuff on the back of a napkin as to what ideas he wants for the fucking following day's show.
But Gordo, may I present to you an option of Mercedes Moné dancing?
CEO, hell no. The way, please tell me they got a fucking discount on her. If you fucking signed her in March and she is not wrestling a match for you until May, you better have gotten a fucking discount or guarantees that she is making up extra fucking dates.
Well, she's obviously signed for a reason. She's on screen performing, obviously not in the ring, but that may or may not be as a result of the injury she sustained last year and her rehabilitation coming back from it, so you can't really criticize too much.
She's done some physical stuff, so she clearly cleared. Well, AEW cleared at least.
But everything about her presentation so far in AEW has been less than good.
Dirt.
I don't want to criticize too much because I need to, you know, let it build a little bit. But her music is dog shit. She should have stayed with her New Japan music.
Yes.
This stupid dance she does every fucking time she has a moment's spare thought in her head. Oh, I'm not talking now. Oh, I'm not wrestling now. I better do the dance. There's great audio for you. But it's been very ungood, but let's just see who this mystery attacker is and how they pay it off. But
hey, Gordo's, she's in recap right now, so you know that's fun.
Oh god, Gordo's right though. The new signings, like, they've signed in the space of what, 2 months, Okada, Ospreay, and Moné. Like, irrespective of what company are, getting those three are a big deal and should be treated as such. Whether you like them individually or not, that's your own preference. But they are three of the biggest names in professional wrestling.
And the only one they're doing right by right now, I'd say, is Ospreay. Okada, I understand the reasoning behind the Okada thing, but it's putting him, who's such a big name, Okada, as kind of basically a lackey to the Young Bucks, effectively, is what he is doing. Mm. Yes, he's a champ. They've made him a champion now.
It's a bit of a squid.
One of the million titles they have.
Well, I don't even know what you call it, but if the European title was a tertiary title in WWE, this is a rung below it. No, you've got the main title, you've got the TNT title, you've got the international title, and then you've got whatever the fuck this is. So he's not, he's barely a champion. Mm. Respectfully,
barely. He should have been brought in the main event level straight away, challenge for a title.
Absolutely, 100%.
He's a champion insofar as he has a belt, but at the same time, we have a belt sitting downstairs.
And also, to mix up that, they now have New Japan's their world champion on the show too.
Yeah. Everybody gets the belt. They've gone full Conor McGregor on the show lately. Yeah.
Well, I saw footage of Jungle Boy Jack Boy Perry getting a belt there as well, only last week.
Oh, who gave him a belt?
CM Punk.
The footage. Thoughts on why should they have aired it?
Fuck no.
There's no reason that in April of 2024, 8 months after the incident happened, that they've aired this when one of the people don't work for the company anymore and the other person involved hasn't been with the company since then because they've shipped him off to Japan. There has been no reason, kayfabe or otherwise, to show this. Actually, there's many kayfabe reasons not to show this.
Oh yeah, kayfabe, there's no sense at all to do it. I will say the only benefit I can see out of it, they did tie it somewhat into a storyline that they have at the moment, and Jack Perry will be coming back, pretty obvious based on the reaction he got in New Japan. They're going to be bringing him back in.
I know what you're saying, Bo, that they've tied it to a storyline, But weakly, have they really?
Loosely, very loosely tied it to a storyline. Like, we were distracted because of all this stuff. So because of that, we lost our match.
Because
they couldn't say their prayers or take their vitamins. It's the Hulk Hogan motto. Like,
as that child in the infamous Instagram reel says, a bullshit. No.
If he actually, like, obviously, the reason they aired this footage is because they got all hung up on Punk's comments and they wanted to defend themselves, where the footage basically shows what Punk said with some very slight differences. Just put it on YouTube.
That you've hit the nail on the head. They were butthurt because Punk said things in an interview with Ariel Helwani, and by airing this footage, they've pretty much confirmed that what Punk said was true.
There is some very slight variations, and I will say Punk doesn't come out looking as well from this footage as he did in the way he explained things, because he very much did throw the first physical hit of it. He instigated the violence part of it, but it was not much violence. It was a bit of pushing and a bit of a headlock, and Tony.
It was incredibly. There was
a slight lunge towards Tony, not at Tony, towards Tony at the end.
But even that, like, that's very much clearly a point. It's not. He's literally not, like. There's a difference between, like, going in his direction and going at someone.
Yeah.
You know, it's feared if you're for going his life, for someone.
Feared for his life. He could have died, Gordo.
If someone is going for you, you know they're going for you. Whereas if someone is kind of getting taken your direction, like, there's... Much like when it comes to wrestling booking, there's levels to this shit.
I think it was the Soup Boys said it on one of their shows over the last few weeks that comment comes from a guy who clearly has never been in any physical altercation. Whoa, in his
100%.
Like, if that was your immediate reaction by what Punk did, and we saw what Punk did, then that says more about you nearly than it does about Punk.
Yeah.
Like, there's no context in which Punk would have initiated contact with Tony. He would have got up in his face and fucked him out of it for whatever reason he thought fit. But he was never going to hit Can, or he was never going to do anything. And the fact that Punk said that he doesn't hold any ill feelings towards Tony in the Ariel Helwani interview, he says he wished him well. Yeah. You know, he pretty much confirmed what everybody has thought, that he's effectively just a money mark. He's a fan with money, and he's living out his dream. But it's not a wrestling business.
No,
he needs to hire a head booker.
Yeah.
And the general manager.
And a lot of other positions, and not give them to the Bucks. But
what's the problem? Getting actual people in there that are actually able to do all this stuff. And not just mates of mates and nepotism sort of situations. It is an actual structure there.
Joe, who's actually after getting some good PR over the last couple of weeks, is Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
He had some comments to make on his Twitch stream.
Yeah, it was good.
He said that his number one worry in all of the brawl out situation going back to 2022 was just getting Larry the dog out of the way, which is hilarious when you think about it, with all the rumors that came out over Larry biting him.
No, but that would be the fairest. All the rumors that came out were that he took the dog out. That's the one thing about Kenny.
He
just basically confirmed, he just got the dog out.
Yeah. He confirmed that he has talked to Punk after that and since then. And that they're on good terms.
Talking terms, at least.
Yes. Talking terms. Reading between the lines from everything that's been said, either on TV, in interviews, reports, I'd say that Kenny has had a little bit of a falling out with the Bucks. I think he's not as close personally as he probably was 5 years ago.
Yeah, whether it's a falling out or a...
growing apart.
Distancing for the sake of self-preservation might be a bit overly harsh, but...
Kenny's deal is up, I know he's probably in a long-term deal because they did the whole thing where they all signed together, but could you see him venturing 100%. Elsewhere?
At this point, I think yes.
I think he has slight regrets that he is tied himself to a new deal.
Yeah. Mm.
Especially with the turn in fortunes of the Fed. I think if the Fed had turned before he had signed his contract, he would 100% have gone with Cody.
Oh, very Cody much. Took, like if Cody his deal was up this year,
at the right time.
Yeah.
And that's something actually I was going to bring up on this was look at the timeline of events of Cody Rhodes. So obviously he's won the title at Mania, so that was his crowning achievement. But look at the plot points on that story from the moment he left WWE way back when. You know, you look at all the moves he's made, the people he's aligned himself with, the decisions that he endeavored. So obviously he went on the indies and kind of got a little bit of buzz for himself. Signed with the list, exactly. Worked Ring of Honor, became their Ring of Honor champion. Worked New Japan, become their US champion. Exactly. He promised the Dublin Big Show and failed to deliver.
What a dickhead.
Befriended
nice guy, though. He was a lovely guy for the bit we talked to him.
Created the original All In and got Ring of Honor to pay for it. Cheeky buck. Love it.
Proper carny bullshit. I love it.
Set up All In or AEW when he found the money with Tony Khan. Made himself to be the big star of the company. Made himself as big as he could within that environment. And then pitched to come back to WWE and went on that way. If you look at it in isolation and assume that all the moves that he's made have been calculated, well thought out moves on his part.
He's a fucking genius.
You have to give him a lot of credit. Now, obviously there's twists and turns and bumps in all the roads, and everything that happened probably didn't happen as it was intended to do. But still, like him or not, on a personal level or a creative level, you have to admire him for how he's worked his way back to the top.
Oh, I admire the hell out of him. I do, genuinely. I think, first of all, it took balls because he bet on himself. I don't know. People knew he was good, and people knew bell to bell he was very good, and people knew that, you know, he loved the business and all that. Everyone knew all that stuff before he left. Like that's never been a secret, but he had never really done it on that big stage. And but in his head, he thought, you know what, I can do it on that level. Why am I not? Okay, there's no other way of doing it. Let's just go out there. Let's just show that, as you said, like in these other companies, like he had a little bit of a run in Impact. He went off and he done bits and pieces. And as I said, it was just, you often see it just in business in general. Sometimes you move up to move out, or you move out to move up. I should say that was in essence all he'd done was like, okay, I'm gonna have to move out to move up. And he said, fuck it, I'm gonna take the punt, I know I'm good enough to do this. And he just went and done it, and it's ballsy. It could have backfired on him to a point where WWE had no interest in taking him back. If that got tits up, they might have had no interest in bringing him back in. But he knew in his head, I can do this. He knew he had a path in his head. As you said, these are the people I need to go. This is the, I won't say people I need to use, but this is the path I need to navigate and the people
align
I need to
align himself with the right
align people. With and kind of work my way through. He had the heart, he had the belief, and he had the plan.
Yep.
And that's one smart man. So fair folks, I admire the hell out of that, genuinely. Yeah.
For saying AEW isn't the real business, Cody Rhodes is a real business.
That is fucking spot on.
Looking here, Fightful have a contract section of their website. Kenny Omega is contracted at least through 2027.
Oof.
He's not going anywhere anytime soon unless he gets a handshake and walks away. Which I wouldn't put it past Tony either to do something like that. He does seem like the kind of guy that wouldn't stand in your way if
you really wanted to. Apparently,
Tony also doesn't release people from the contracts, and
that
happened over the last few weeks.
It did.
Well, I can't remember who, because most of the names I didn't even recognize, but there was a few people released, and one particular that was injured. Which is a bit of a...
Yeah, we've never been hired back after the whole stuff came out, but yeah.
Anthony Henry.
Yeah. Yes.
Anthony Henry was, let go and rehired, seemingly. Doesn't bode well for him when he's back healthy again.
Exactly.
And the boys. Don Castle's boys have been released. I actually don't remember who else. They were the ones that kind of stood out, but there was another like five or six, wasn't there? They're all kind of
They're all
kind of extra, yeah.
Sean pointed out in the chat that Tony wouldn't let Punk out when he wanted to go. Slight difference, I'd say, there now. That was more to stick it to Punk, I think.
Yeah, but also there's the rumors about not even Aleister Black go as well, or Malakai Black go as well when he wanted out too. So
yeah, again, Kenny being an EVP, one of the founders of the company, I think there's a bit more goodwill between them. So obviously he would end up going to WWE if that was the case. So you could understand if he wanted to stand in his way or not give him his release because it would benefit the other company. But
yeah,
I suspect that there might be a handshake agreement between the two that, you know, if they wanted to call it quits for any reason, they probably could. But that's pure speculation. That's what we do. Recklessly speculate.
We run down the card of this pay-per-view for the weekend.
Oh shit, there's a fucking pay-per-view this weekend.
Yep.
Why?
Dynasty. Dynasty is on this. This whole monthly pay-per-views for AEW is just that when you're doing proper, this, I know it's the thing pre-network time, this is a normal thing, paying for a pay-per-view every month. You can't do that anymore. It's just,
no.
And we're okay. Our prices aren't too bad. In America, these things are insanely priced.
Yeah, what's over here? It's like €20 here.
Yeah, €25, I think it's.
Yeah, you can get a package at one where you get four of them together for like one of them is cheaper, you know. But yeah,
yeah, it's like four for the price of three or some shit.
I will not be buying this one because I'm not staying up Sunday night. And this first one I think I haven't bought or watched live.
I think the last one is the last one we did, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. Well, that's the thing. If you're not staying up watching, you can just, you know, borrow the tape from your cousin.
Get a friend's login, share, and password sharing.
I'll run through the card here and I'll throw it to you guys. So first up is a pre-show fight. The Acclaimed, Anthony Bones and Max Caster with Billy Gunn versus Bullet Club Gold, Jay White and the Guns. This is
all the gold.
AEW World Trios and ROH six-man tag.
What
are you thinking?
Hopefully they're merging the titles fully to not splitting them apart later, which is actually something we didn't cover in WWE, the fact that we now have two new belts and whatnot there for tag titles and properly separated.
Two new belts.
Well, one new belt set of belts so far, but I'm assuming a new set of belts tonight on SmackDown.
Yeah, probably.
I reckon you kind of have to give this to Bullet Club Gold. They need it desperately.
I would go Bullet Club Gold as well. I think it makes sense.
Cool beans. Next up, another pre-show match. Trent Barretta versus Matt Sydal for some reason.
So Matt Sydal came to the defense of Orange Cassidy on Dynamite this week. That's basically
all right.
And third pre-show match, Orange Cassidy and Katsuyori Shibata versus Shane Taylor Promotions of Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty.
Oh, they're losing.
I don't know. They're doing a little push for Taylor and Moriarty, and also they have Trent having this vendetta against Orange Cassidy. So I can see Trent costing Orange and Shibata this one.
I just turn off the TV anytime I see Shane Taylor Promotions. He should not be anywhere near TV wrestling in 2024. I said what I said. First match. You what?
I'm not going to disagree with you. I haven't been sold on him yet. I really like Lee Moriarty. Lee Moriarty's very good, but I haven't been sold on him.
No, he's just not good. Not good at all. The pre-show's over, going to the main show, and there's a trios match. Adam the Edge Copeland and Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black. Any thoughts, Gordo?
I always want House of Black to win, so I'm just going to go House of Black. But I haven't seen enough of the show in the last couple of weeks because I've given less of a shit. So I'm going to say House of Black based off of absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I reckon the faces will probably take it. Just so you just have to, Mark Briscoe's the new Ring of Honor champ and whatnot. You want to make sure he gets kept over. And Eddie still has the New Japan Strong title, I think.
Yeah.
He's lost the other two. But yeah, he still has that one. And Edge is the TNT champ. So, you know.
Team champs. Yeah.
Your champ's strong.
House of Black, though, they seem to be taking a lot of losses lately.
Yeah, I mean, you could have it where House Black win, that sets up finally the Edge versus Malakai Black match. So yeah, it can go that way either.
Next one is FTW rules match for the FTW championship after that evil bastard man Chris Jericho viciously assaulted Taz on Dynamite.
He's a bad knee. He's a bad knee, Fitz.
So it's Hook versus Chris Jericho. What are you thinking? Does Taz get involved? Does Taz physically get involved with something?
Definitely some sort of interference by Taz.
But can he do a move? Can he do the Taz mission?
I'm sure he can do the Taz mission. It's FTW rules, so... You know,
anything goes in that's the famous bloodline.
Yeah.
Champ retainer change here. What are we thinking?
I mean, Jericho with this heel run with that title would be good.
Is he a heel though?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Is he though?
The fact that he's not even giving people the song to sing along to right now.
He's Lionheart.
He's Lionheart. He's not the one that they want to sing.
But do they even want to sing it anymore?
Yeah, it depends on the crowd.
Yeah. What's up the boo at this point?
Okay, so who's winning? Who's winning? Pick a name.
I'm going to say Jericho.
I think Jericho. Yeah.
Interesting. Next up is a singles match for the AEW International Championship. Roderick Strong defending versus Kyle O'Reilly. This should, if nothing else, should be a very fun match.
The match quality, I think it's AEW, match quality for the pay-per-views are usually very strong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the show was going to be good.
Yeah.
I'd say Strong retain this one. I'd be surprised if they take it off him yet.
Yeah.
Cool.
Shenanigans, left, right, and center.
There's going to be fuckwittery all over the gaff. But yeah, I think retention anyway.
With Gardner's favorite tag team, The Kingdom. Gotcha. next
one. Sorry.
Is a house rules match for the AEW TBS Championship. Julia Hart defending against Willow Nightingale. What are you thinking?
Well, obviously the winner of this is going to be the one that's going to be facing Mercedes as the next favorite. Unless the title match between, I'm sure they'll have three title defenses between now and then.
True.
They haven't said what the house rule is for this, have they?
No, they usually just announce it on the spot.
Yeah. I reckon Willow, I think that the story makes more sense for Willow versus Mercedes.
Story, yeah.
And like you could, I don't think you're going to turn Willow heel and be the one that attacked her backstage. You could do that, but I wouldn't see it happening.
Yeah. The obvious one is Willow. And if the blackened out attack on Monet had not happened, I'd be all in for Willow having the match at Double or Nothing, pun intended. But because of the attack, I think it ties into the House of Black shenanigans and possibly Julia Hart retaining. She's the one behind the attack. Monet, Hart.
Could do triple threat
together there. You could, be fair. Or there could be a third party potentially involved with being the attacker and they get involved somehow. I did say to Pad watching this that, is it possible that Statlander has turned heel?
They did that whole thing that right after Perella turned heel, that he had a discussion with Statlander backstage and she asked him why and he whispered something to her and she kind of understood somewhat. So I reckon that could be a way you go to, yeah.
Potentially. There's a bit of intrigue at least for this one.
Either way, I reckon Willow comes out with the title here.
Interesting. I like Willow. I love her music.
Yeah, Willow's great.
Yeah.
Singles match for the AEW Continental Championship. Jesus Christ.
So
Steve Kazuchika Okada defends against the Bastard Man Pack.
This will be a fantastic match, but retention by Okada.
Yeah.
Seems likely. Then we have the tournament final ladder match for the vacant AEW World Tag Team Championships. The Young Bucks, Nicholas and Matthew Jackson versus FTR, Dax Hardwood and Cash Wheeler. what are you thinking? So, Boski?
You kind of have to give it to the Bucks with the story.
How did they do it though?
They climb a ladder and take the title.
Technically correct. I love it. But
Jungle Boy tips over a ladder with FTR on it and helps the Bucks up the ladder for the win.
There you go. Yep. This is where Jungle Boy gets his big return.
If only this was in Chicago, that would get nuclear heat.
Where is the pay-per-view, actually? It's
Washington, is it?
Missouri. St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeesh. Good luck getting a reaction there, boys. Yeah, FTR doesn't seem to, like they're the ones who are going to take it. Bucks probably warranted based on current story, but meh. Gordo, what are you thinking?
Yeah, no, I'm having Jungle Boy interfere. Jungle Boy costs FTR and is aligning with the Bucks of Youth.
Okie dokie. Next match is singles match to determine the best wrestler in the world, TM. Will Ospreay versus Brian Danielson.
You missed the match.
Yeah, I did. I'm leaving that for co-main.
Okay. Yeah, this match is going to fuck. And yeah, Ospreay has to get the win because this is the new shiny toy.
Ospreay.
Do you reckon? Wait, or is it the wily veteran getting one over on the young upstart?
No, Danielson's having his goodbye tour. He's taking the pins left, right, and center here. This is Ospreay's breaking out moment. They're going to have the rest of the fucking Don Callis family attack Danielson afterwards, and Ospreay's going to save him and turn face.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably right. So I'm not going to say you're wrong. But also, all things being equal, I would actually love Danielson to escape with the win.
Then they attack Ospreay afterwards.
Potentially. There's a few different ways they can go with it. I'm not liking the fact that Ospreay is wrestling these bangers every week. You know, build him a character before you just build him as a wrestler.
He has this a character. Biggest... Bruv.
What is it? Bruv. Fair point. Well made.
Bruv and Triple H grinds on the boss's daughter.
I didn't mind that line. Trips took a shot at him. He had no reason to take a shot at him.
Just unnecessary. Just
never mention my name.
It was pretty obvious who it was at.
Could have been at Mercedes, could have been at Okada.
Yeah, no, it was pretty obvious who that was at.
Gordo, who are you having in this match and why?
Yeah, no, I'm taking Ospreay. I think that's, as Bo said, it's his coming out party. This is your crowning moment for him that, you know, you're making him the next guy. He needs to get a couple of big wins. And, well, I do think there's ways you could do to have him be, as you said, the wily veteran pulls out the win against all odds kind of thing. I just think for the momentum you're going to want to give Ospreay, especially only 4 months out from London, I think you have to give it to Ospreay just to start building that momentum nicely towards getting the face turn in. Obviously, him going against the Callis family for a month or two, you're probably looking at that dragging out over 2 months, then a month to build towards the number one contendership, and then another month as number one contender leading into London. So I think you have to have the turn on the Callis family happen this weekend, really, is the best time for it.
Next up then is for the AEW Women's World Championship. Timeless Toni Storm defending against Thunder Rosa. What do you think happens here, Bo?
I reckon we get a retention from Toni Storm. I wouldn't be taking it off her just yet. I think she's been one of the best things on the show for a good while.
And does she win clean?
Oh God, no. It's Toni Storm match.
Gordo, what are you having?
Yeah, no, shenanigans afoot.
Like, it's going to be Mariah May to take that title off her.
Do they do twin magic with Mariah May?
Ooh, you could do.
I am absolutely obsessed and here for all of the Mariah May right now. Give her all the titles.
To be fair, she's actually done a great job with the stuff she's doing at the moment. She's absolutely killing it. Been a real good...
Funnily enough, she's not been signed before now.
She was off doing stuff in Japan. She's still quite young.
Remember that show we went to? She was supposed to host.
She was the ring announcer.
She was the ring announcer for that show we went to in...
Madison was... Yeah. It was her and Madison were hosting.
Yeah, it was.
I actually am going to throw something out here. I know I'm sidetracking the predictions a bit here. Who so far has been the better signing for the AEW Women's Division? Mariah May or Mercedes?
Well, no brainer. It's obviously.
I mean, Mercedes got that big rating pop that time. Oh, wait.
Crazy.
Storyline wise and impact to story and product, Mariah May's definitely been more impactful. But,
yeah, you know. Like everything Mariah May's getting involved in, I'm like, I'm here for it. I'm here for all of it. She's been absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, Tony wins, Mariah May getting involved. I would love to see them pull some kind of a Twin Magic style moment here, because obviously they've had Mariah impersonating her and all this stuff as it is. Well, obviously the previous iteration of her, I think is what they called her. But yeah, I'd have some kind of a Twin Magic, and I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Cool beans. I'm not hyped on Thunder Rosa. Never really have. I think she's more than adequate, obviously, but I find her a bit slow in the ring at times. But I'm having what both have, and I think I'm just enjoying the Tony Storm experience right now.
Phenomenal.
And, let it continue. Surprised that they didn't bring Mercedes into this storyline.
I mean, if this storyline is leaning towards Mariah May winning the title off Tony Storm, which I assume it's going to, that just distracts from it.
I don't want Mariah to turn on her. That's the thing. Not every protege.
Oh, I mean, Tony's going to turn on that. Mariah, not the other way around.
Yeah.
It's already started.
The star that doesn't want to be upstaged by her understudy.
Yeah. I get that.
They already have her getting jealous of her, hanging out with her old stardom buddies and whatnot. It's already started. Like
she's snogging other women.
Yep.
There's a Home Alone reference you can make there. Okay, so Tony Storm to retain. Then you got the main event for the World Championship. Samoa Joe defending against Swerve Strickland. Can Swerve win the big one, or is he a giant arsenal? Giant choke artist. Sorry.
You know what? I'm going to make a genuine point here. If Swerve doesn't win, I will legit stop watching.
Oh wow!
It's reached that point where if he doesn't win at this point, I'm just barring an absolute miracle that is creative genius to get them around it. I will be just completely done with Tony Khan from a book of perspective, and I'll just be done with AEW.
I mean, the only real way that I think you could not have Swerve win is if they bring out Hangman, he costs him, and they just send that again to have one more run on that before they get given the big crowning moment.
Yeah, or if somehow Adam Cole is healthy again and they come out and attack both of them as a faction. That's the only other possible way. But even at that, I don't see how even a Hangman-related thing would be good enough to make me say I want to keep watching this.
Or MJF maybe returns, and I don't know. He's no beef against Strickland, though, so that wouldn't
make
sense.
That's the thing. There's nothing there to kind of back it. That's why, no, I've honestly near the point where if Swerve was to not win here, I would be having to give serious consideration to why I'm bothering watching this.
Because Joe has been a great champ. I have enjoyed Joe as champ, and he's good. He's a good like name to have as a champion in the show, on the show. But I very much want Swerve to win here.
Yeah, it's Swerve's time.
Yeah, I'm kind of having what you're having there. I think that you won't really get a better time or an opportunity to have a Swerve win, and it'd be interesting to see what they do with Swerve as the champ. Is Swerve a face right now? It's really hard to kind of tell.
Swerve's very much a face right now.
But he does.
He's a face by. Remember when Randy Orton was still going around punting people in the head and the crowd were cheering for it every week? That nearly kind of anti-hero kind of. Yeah,
the whole Austin never had a face turn.
Yeah, kind of nearly vigilante-esque kind of faced him. But yeah, he's kind of in that role of. Everyone knows that he's doing a couple of dastardly things, but everyone's just there. Everyone doesn't give, like, you know, you're overlooking their flaws nearly kind of thing. But like, if the plan is him versus Ospreay for London, which is heavily believed to be the case, you want his title reign to have a bit of weight to it, and leaving it much later to put the belt on him, with every week you leave it, it lessens and lessens. Whereas if he has a 4-month title reign going into Wembley, then whatever happens 2 or 3 years down the line, if we want to go back to it again, you know, just still like he was a champ who defeated blah, 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 blah in a previous title run. Every defense, every week he's had it will just add weight. So yeah, for me, it's time. Put the fucking title on him and let's see what the man can do.
won't disagree with any of that. Yeah. So we're all having it. We're all thinking, we're all aboard the Swerve train.
We're in Swerve's house.
We are living in Swerve's house. I love it. I don't even have to pay rent. It's great. So that's the AEW Dynasty pay-per-view. I don't think there's no other big shows happening soon. We've got the Leon show in 2 weeks' time, so we can have a look at that next week. Anything else happening in the world of wrestling that is worthy of being discussed on this illustrious podcast?
Sheamus returned.
He sure did.
There's been a little bit of online discourse about his appearance as he returned. But
because he brought too many limes with him.
He brought a lot of limes. Now, first, he was off injured. He got last minute notice that he was cleared. He's going to bulk up. He's going to trim down again. He's bulked up at the moment. People are overreacting a lot about it, I think.
It was spinal based issues as well. So it's not like he can be fucking working on his core when it's
couldn't be working out properly.
So
exactly.
And he
still looked great. He still did all the moves he needs to do.
Half the people that were fucking talking shit about how Sheamus looks makes me look anorexic. So these fuckers shouldn't be commenting on how anybody looks. So
I just feel after the Randy and AJ return after injury looking like fucking chiseled gods, I think everyone's just expecting that at that point. But people are injured. They can't train the same way when they're injured,
People are idiots.
He is the sort of guy now that will be back to his normal self within a month or two.
Yeah, month or two, exactly.
So let's just see how that works. The draft is happening next week. So this day week is the first night of the draft. And the second part is on the Monday after. What are your initial expectations going into the draft? Are we going to have it similar to what they did last year and the year before, where they indiscriminately split the roster and that's how you pick them? Or will they be a little bit more inventive with how to do things?
I mean, last year it made somewhat no sense because they didn't have, it was just random people selecting people for the brands. They actually have GMs now.
Mm-hmm.
So it storyline wise, it makes more sense. Plus they've said that NXT is eligible in the draft too, to draft people to it. I'm assuming like one pick each round, I'd imagine, is what they'll probably do for NXT. But it'll be interesting to see what way that looks like they're trying to big up NXT to be a third brand again now that Trips is back in charge and can do that.
Yeah, the people in NXT have been there long enough to kind of hold its own as a lesser but equal third brand. Whereas, when they launched this new version of NXT, they obviously brought in so many new people. So they were starting from the ground up again. But how... The draft should be a one-night thing. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, nights is... These are the eligible pool. It's like, it's a no. It's not
how do you how do you do that? Yeah. Like, how do you decide who's eligible night one and night two? It makes no sense. By doing that, you're already saying that, okay, well, these 10 people are on an equal setting, so 5 of those will be on the first night and 5 of those will be on the second night, and you work down kind of a level each time and divide them up. Are champions eligible to be drafted? You'd hope not.
They're getting rid of the Raw and SmackDown names off all the titles, so they should be.
I would say
at least
no.
One benefit of this, you don't have to fucking have people getting extra numbers under title reigns for swapping titles after getting drafted to opposite brands.
Who did that? Was it New Day swap belts?
They did it in women's titles as well. I remember Becky and Charlotte did it before as well.
The most awkward moment of all time.
That is easily the worst thing they've done from a creative booking point of view in a long time. I would go the opposite. I think champions shouldn't be drafted. So, for example, Damian Priest is the World Heavyweight Champion. He is a Raw superstar. He's not eligible to be drafted. I would go that route.
I wouldn't mind that if they did that, but I feel like they'll just have them all eligible and they'll sort out afterwards like they always have.
But then do they bring the belts with them?
Yeah.
So,
they've done it before. That's how it all happened originally with the original draft. All the champions were drafted to one brand and
I know.
Had no titles.
But the reason I asked that, the reason I bring that up is Rhea Ripley's belt, Damian Priest's belt, and the Awesome Truths belt are all of the World Heavyweight Championship design. And Bayley's belt, Cody's belt, and presumably the new tag team belt for A-Town Down Under will be of the WWE Championship design. So you ideally, from a brand identity point of view, you want to keep them consistent and keep them separated. You don't want to mix those up because, you know, Raw versus SmackDown, it's a rivalry, and you know that one time of the year where Raw and SmackDown go head to head in direct competition for brand supremacy, TM, all these things matter. So that's why I'm using the logic of champions shouldn't be draftable.
I agree. I prefer if they had it that way, because, you know, it means you're valued by your brand as a champion. Mm-hmm. You keep the thing, but I don't see it happening. But we'll see.
Exactly. But then because you're drafting over two nights, how do you keep the second night relevant and interesting if it's an open draft pool and you can draft anyone on night one? Surely the big hitters, quote unquote, would be already gone.
That's the thing. If you're doing it over two nights, you have to have the split like that. Do it. It's the only way to do it. Make it intriguing for both nights.
I know, it's just so dumb. I'm old school, Bo. I just think things should make sense. Sue me.
One night draft. Raw's long enough. It's 3 hours. You can do it all. Take it one night. But,
so who do you think then would be good for call-ups?
I mean, they've already said that there's a couple people already. What they said, Elia was eligible for the draft when he made his debut on Raw for Raw After Mania. And they said, I think they said the same about Roxy, if I remember right.
Yeah. Ilya, Roxy. I would assume the boy Mello.
Yeah, Mello.
But he's already been drafted. He's contracted to SmackDown.
Oh, he wasn't
contracted. Sorry, he appeared. But he was,
Breaker's contracted.
Yeah, Braun's contracted. And So yeah, I reckon I don't see after the match this week, the cage match in NXT this week, I reckon Trick isn't coming up.
Yeah.
Trick won that, didn't he?
Yeah, which meant if he had lost the he had to leave NXT, which meant he was guaranteed call up. The fact he won it, I reckon they're probably keeping him down there for a bit longer.
What do you think of Dave Meltzer thinking during the week or saying during the week that Trick is not good, but has incredible charisma?
So he's good.
See, this is the point I made to the lads in the house a long time ago. Like, Trick Williams is over more than Carmelo has ever been.
Mm.
I think personally, but Carmelo is obviously 10 times the wrestler the Trick is, bell to bell, move for move. That just shows you the contrast in what a professional wrestler can be and should be. If you can merge those two people, you've got a hell of a wrestler, because Carmelo, for all the talent he has bell to bell, he is not getting over. The fans aren't going to clamor to him as they have for Trick. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
But Trick will hopefully get better and he could be the biggest star to the two. I wouldn't be surprised.
Exactly. Yeah. Get more reps in there. So we're probably keeping him there.
Who would you move to NXT then? It's a tricky one to answer now.
I was thinking outside shot of getting called up, Sol Ruka.
Yeah.
To SmackDown. To put her with, have her on the same brand as Bait. Since they're a thing,
they do like to keep couples together, to be fair.
They do.
On the men's side, Dijak. Trips loves Dijak, and he never got done right the first time around, so I would not be surprised to see him and Gallus.
Oh yeah, I definitely see Gallus. Yeah, they've been off NXT TV for a while as well anyway.
Yeah. And they were the ones helping out with The Rock as well, so I would not be surprised to see could they come up and be like, if Drew resigns, I know they love putting people of the same nationality together. That was the whole thing of Discourse. I'm sorry, but a fucking faction of Drew with the three of them.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And the fucking segments and stuff you'd have, because their lads could bounce well off them. I think you'd get good shit out of the four of them together. Who goes down? That's a great question, though.
I have in my head, I don't want it, but I can see Sheamus going down.
Why?
I don't know. I just have it in my head. I think bring him back just for the draft.
He would murder people down there.
Yeah.
Like, actually kill them dead.
It'd be a good opening for a wide awakening for people down in NXT about whether they want to stay in the business. I don't know. I just have it in my head. I don't know why.
Oh, that's an interesting one now.
I don't want it because I want him to get his IC title shot, but
that's a killer, isn't it? If they're going with this heel thing for Gable, I worry about Otis and Tozawa.
Tozawa would always have a spot on the main roster for pure comedic effect. Otis could do it going away for a while.
Otis and Maxine definitely, I think, could be outside shots.
If you do the pick, depending on what way they're doing the NXT draft picks, you're going to have a pick in the first five, potentially, if you're going to have like Raw, SmackDown, Raw, or probably, I'd imagine Raw, SmackDown, Raw, NXT probably is the way the first, like,
so someone go. Big. Someone so be, big.
There will be one at least big person, I think, going to NXT. AJ Styles.
Imagine.
That's... Weirdly enough, not outside the realm of possibility.
All of the possibility. That's outside of all of the possibility. Mm. Be interesting, though. That's next week, so we'll have to see how that pans out. Anything else happening in the world of wrestling? Obviously, John Moxley is the new New Japan World Champion with the god-awful belt.
Such a bad belt. It's a bad, bad belt.
It's Matt a fine Hardy. Belt if it wasn't the IWGP World Heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Our friend of the show, Steve, just put up a post there. a quote from Wrestling News. Matt Hardy says, AEW needs to appeal to casual fans. Backstage issues probably deterred some fans from supporting AEW. Leave CM Punk in the past. To which friend of the show, John Draper, quote tweeted and said, if anyone said any of these things to him a year ago, he would have ridiculed them publicly. But now he gets to say them. I like how this game is played.
Tell me when Draper is telling lies.
Draper, I love Draper because he really kind of says the things that, you know, he's right, but he probably shouldn't say it.
Have a filter.
No. And he also loves winding up the Titanium core as well. That's just an added bonus.
It sustains him. You can tell. It just gives him life force.
But can we all agree that we don't need to see another Matt Hardy run?
Unless it's part of the new Wyatt family.
Oh, that's actually one thing we didn't mention. The vignettes for someone coming back. Uncle Howdy and friends.
Eric Rowan has cancelled some indie call dates that he had booked in because of contractual obligations. So the interruptions we're seeing on Raw and SmackDown and the QR codes that are coming up, they all seem to be building to some form of an Uncle Howdy, Wyatt, Six family connection thing. Be interesting to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I mean, Alexa's surely due back at this point. She's been gone for a good while now with them.
She went back to training there about a month or 6 weeks ago. Yeah. So however long that takes for her to get back into ring shape.
Finish the story.
So who would you have? You've Howdy, you've Rowan, you've Alexa, you've possibly Matt. That's four. Shut up, Alexa. Do you want, who's our other two people?
I don't know.
If they're doing a six, of course.
Yeah.
Where's Strowman? Is he still hurt? How long is he going to be out for?
Oh, Strowman's a good shout. That's a really good shout.
Well, he doesn't need to do much either. He just needs to look imposing.
Yeah. And Bad Bunny plays Ramblin' Rabbit.
Boom, done. Book it.
I don't think we could do it any better. Gordo, plug us up.
Plug it up, baby. Yeah. So if you want more of us at the Alleged Wrestling Podcast, you'll find us on all your usual podcasting apps. So like your iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you're listening now, if you come back next week, there's going to be a brand new episode, hopefully, if we actually record one. Please come back next week and you'll find another episode. You'll also find us over on WrestlingSoup.com, along with the Soup Guys themselves and a load of other shows. Please go spread the love over there and check out the shows over there. Always some top quality stuff from everybody among the different podcasts over there on WrestlingSoup.com. And make sure also to check out the Soup Guys over on their Patreon. Best few quid I drop every month, worth every penny, so please make sure to check them out. Also, check out our friends of the show, Canvas Theory, www.canvastheory.com. If you use the promo code AWP, you'll get 10% off your entire order. There's no need for that now. There's no need for that. Be nice to them. It's a new year of the wrestling calendar. You're supposed to be nice to people.
Fuck Canvas Theory.
Wow. I love Canvas Theory. I love Canvas Theory enough for all of us.
I hate them, but they make great hats.
They do. top quality stuff. Please make sure to check them out. CanvasTheory.com, promo code AWP. You'll also find us over on Twitter. It's at the AWPod. Over there, you'll find a link to our Discord. Come join in the fun when we record every week. We also have our good and bad Twitter takes, which we're probably a couple of weeks backlogged on now. We'll get to them at some stage, probably next week, hopefully, and we'll be able to go through and see what the old Twitter discourse has been over the last couple of weeks. So that is sure to be a barrel of laughs. Look forward to it. And it's always an interesting segment to see what sort of weird shit wrestling Twitter fans can come up with. You'll also find us over on Twitch most weekends. That is twitch.tv/TheAWP, the AWP. Boys, another one in the can.
Hey, we're all going to heaven, lads.
But it sounds like Steve might already be there.
Well, to be fair, he's a very old man.
He's a very old man.
It was inevitable it was going to happen at some stage. Although, to be fair, if that man's going in one direction, it ain't up.
That's all. Wow.
He has done many illegal things in his life that will send him to the depths of hell.
Streaming. Illegal streaming. Gotcha.
Yes. Yeah. He loves the illegal streaming. Mad for it. On that note, say goodnight, Mo.
Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, Mo.